proud to have switched from liberal to conservative over the years.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk.
99.1 and 92.3.
Hi, friends. John Potter back with you for one more hour on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. V&T Railroad's coming up, and we have tickets for you to win right here on this radio station. Let's go back to the phones. I had a rant about the massacre in Israel, and Paula is calling in. Paula, I appreciate you calling, and welcome to the show.
Well, hello, Mr. Potter. I followed you for many, many years. I wondered how long CBS was going to put up with your conservative innuendos, but and not too long, did they? So anyway, welcome back to the public. And I'm calling about the, you know, I'm going to try to be as brief as possible. But after the 20 elections, and I've never been a techie person. I still don't own a smartphone to this day. Burner phones. But anyway, I said, I got to find out. Something's going on, you know. So I fell down the first rabbit hole. But there's so much information on the Internet now. And there's so many really brilliant and completely independent journalists on the Internet. Go to YouTube. YouTube will tell you how to change the oil in your car to the complete history of subjects like this. And people don't realize that. Turn off your TV. It's a mantra. It is just, I hate to use the word propaganda, but they're all have the same point of view, no matter what channel. Get some information of your own. When you're talking about a subject like this, I think we're very insensitive over here because we're untouched by it. But you're going back way, way, way in history. You know, I mean, if you want to talk about our involvement, then you can, I mean, this starts in 1917 with the Balfour Declarations out of Great Britain with Lord Rothschild. I mean, it goes back to the fact that this is about also that the third most important Islamic temple is built on top of the where they want to build the third temple for the second coming of Christ. I mean, this is just huge. It's huge. And you have to understand that you've got 2.3 million people who've been forced into a 412-mile square mile piece of land that certainly didn't start that way.
Well, if you want to go way back, you know, the Palestinian people have been mobile. They didn't really have a country to call for themselves. When the UN set aside Israel and the formation of that nation, this nomadic people, the Palestinians, they accepted them to live within their land. I got to say, none of the other Muslim countries were willing to take them in. And to this day, when they talk about these Palestinians, they have to escape the Gaza Strip. And the only other country that they can get into from there is Egypt. And Egypt refuses to take them in. But we could go on and on about history. But Paula, I got to tell you, this is a massacre of not just, this was not a battle. This is not where they went after Israeli soldiers. This is where they went after civilians and killed babies and invaded.
Now Israel's doing the same. And it is just, it's horrible.
I can't imagine how you can connect what they did last Saturday morning, an out-and-out massacre. As I said, I don't want to get too graphic about it, but cutting off babies' heads and everything like that.
World
has not seen that. We're not talking about soldiers. We're talking about civilians on a mass scale.
All right, but that was walked back, John. That came out of an Israeli reporter, and it was walked back.
No. The American journalists who are there confirmed all of this. I don't want to, you know, argue or anything
like
that.
All I'm saying is people need to not look to their politicians, not look to the mainstream media, and do a little educating and investigating on their own.
I agree.
Now the tool.
Okay, that right there, I agree with you totally. And what is this about? You wondered how long I was going to last at Channel 2 because I'm a conservative. What conservative comments did I make at Channel 2?
No.
Innuendos.
I said innuendos. Sometimes
it
was
goodness.
Just a shrug of the shoulders.
Oh.
I just thought it was interesting.
Well,
Sometimes it was your smile.
I'll tell you, the smile. Okay, let me talk about that because I felt my mission on that morning show was to, this sounds crazy to say, but there was a mental health, there still is a mental health crisis going on brought on by the pandemic. And I could not in good conscience foist all this terrible news, which is constantly going on people the first thing in the morning. That affects people's mental health. And at the end of stories, if it wasn't too gruesome, yes, I would use a lot of humor in it because I'm a religious man and I feel this is good for people. And there was nothing really outwardly conservative. I will say that the network and the station are outwardly, in my opinion, liberal. Another part of my job there was to give both sides of the story and not just one.
I don't know why you're defending yourself.
Because you brought it up.
I don't know why you're defending yourself. You're on a conservative talk radio station.
And so are you.
So perceived. So perceived. Oh, absolutely. And I am very conservative. And I look at people like that I have shared this community with, Shelby Sheehan, et cetera, who sit there and I say, do you ever do any research on your own? Do you ever, or do you just read the teleprompter? Because there's some responsibility in that. Responsibility in just saying, just doing my job.
Okay. Paula, I got to run. Thank you so much. And, I will agree with you about the media and things like that. You know, the fact that most mainstream media, there's a big three media does what it always does. They always refer to Republican lawmakers. They don't call them conservatives anymore. There's an awful lot of hard right and controversial, like us conservatives are kind of outside of the traditional American population. The fact that most mainstream media broadcasts or publications about conservatives in America always sound like the subject being discussed is a different breed of human or people from some foreign land tells you all you need to know about what passes for journalism now in this country. From their perspective, roughly half the population of the country barely exists inside their universe. I do wish the people who write articles and do television news reports would quit acting like American conservatism is some weird little aberration that just sprang up from nowhere. Whether they care to admit it or not, the fact is that America is a majority conservative, conservative-leaning country. And there has been and always will be, and even is now, despite Trump, much good there. And they ought not to be routinely treated like something that should be scraped off your shoes. I didn't think I was overtly conservative on TV, but they are overtly, in my opinion, liberal. And I got called into the office. You said cancel culture. That's a Republican term. Well, no, it's not. It's not. Anyway, I got to take a break. Phone number is 884-9910. V&T Railroad is going to call, and we'll talk to them. But we're taking your calls, too. 884-9910. We'll be back. 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time is 1116.
FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
Yeah, we argued a little bit, but I really appreciate Paula. Paula, thank you so much. Paula was spotted all my shoulder shrugging on TV and could pinpoint what I was thinking. But I appreciate your call. 884-9910 as always. Something, as long as we have time now, something I actually want to kind of apologize for. I think I did this two Saturdays ago. Let me set this up. The show was ending. It was like 2 minutes to noon, and somebody called up about the homeless, and it was the clock was running. I had to end the show, but I did bring up my codependency argument about homelessness, that you know how that is. The only way you can cure alcoholism is to not be a codependent to them, to force them to lift themselves out of where they are. And I was applying that to homelessness too. And I made the comment about I said, the easier you make it for the homeless, the more homeless you're going to get. And the time ran out. And it came off harsh. And that is not my true Christian belief about that situation. I have heard people say, and you might say, well, John, when it comes to homeless, they brought it upon themselves. They refuse to work. They choose to not follow the rules. They choose to drink and take drugs. They chose the consequences. And to be honest, now that I have time, I have to say, I don't truly feel that way in total myself. Because I know in my life, most of the bad circumstances I've encountered have been of my own creation. Most of the time, when I find myself in a hole, it's a hole that I dug. And yet, I am grateful for the compassion and the assistance of others in getting out of that hole. You have better chances of doing that with help from others. Second of all, as I pointed out before, I'm not sure many people wake up and say, hey, I'd like to be an opioid addict, and I'd like to almost die on the river trail or in a supermarket parking lot, right? But people, and that includes you and me, people make foolish choices. And some of those choices put a noose around their neck. And sometimes it's hard to escape that noose. And if there's something we as citizens can do that helps somebody through a crisis of right now, I think that's worthwhile. And I know that solving the crisis of right now, that doesn't mean you've escaped an ongoing problem. You talk to folks with the police department or someone with the fire department or ambulance crew. And, well, I spoke to one paramedic crew that gave Narcan to one overdose person twice in one shift. The power of addiction is great. Those of us who are not addicts, we cannot picture what that battle is like, and we can't make judgments about, oh, just stop using it. You have no idea what it's like to be an addict. But anyway, getting back to the Narcan, and from what I hear and see of what's out there, more Narcan in more places, like over-the-counter, it's now at Walgreens and CVS, Smith's, Walmart, all sell Narcan without a prescription. And I think it's a very good idea. I would like to see Narcan available free at our libraries. I know of a couple of cities that do that. It may be Vegas I'm thinking of. I forget. Narcan is the antidote to an overdose that you can apply. It's a spray into your nose, at least the Narcan that I've seen. And again, you don't use drugs probably. Maybe nobody in your family uses drugs, but we all want to be more than a witness to somebody's death, I would like to be someone of support and help. And if you have any personal experience with anything that I just talked about, I would be grateful to hear from you. You know our phone number, 884-9910. I would be interested in hearing from you if you've ever been out there on the fire truck, you volunteer with a rapid response or work at an ambulance service like REMSA or patrol in your squad car and you've done this and you've seen how it works. I'd like you to tell people. It's one of those things that I have changed my opinion about, and I think we can all be better prepared this way for the way things are today, referencing the Narcan that's available in places and should be in more places. I think people should drive around with Narcan in their glove compartment if you see somebody overdosing. I think that would be a great benefit to our community. All right, let's go to the phones here. Barry is calling from Carson City, a subject we were just talking about. Barry, I'm glad you called. Good morning, sir.
Howdy. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I sure can, Barry. Go ahead.
Well, my comment is about homeless people and drug addiction. My observation is that a lot of people that use drugs are actually self-medicating some kind of a health problem. For example, a child that has attention deficit or bipolar is often a parasite from cat litter. And the medicine is Ritalin, which is methamphetamine. So a person who's a meth addict might actually be self-medicating and is in a hopeless situation because there's no real professional help to determine, are you using meth because you have a parasite problem in your body, et cetera?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not convinced that all drug users are bad people. I think they may be self-medicating and they're actually a victim.
True. I appreciate your call, Barry. There's a lot of similarities between this and alcoholism. The only difference really is that they make these drugs so they perfect the pain-killing ability of these drugs, these opioids, to be incredibly addictive. And the addiction is so much stronger than with alcohol in that situation. Yes, it starts as a habit, but it goes from being a habit to a physical addiction. Other people helping would be the solution for that. I just like to see more people helping, I guess I'm trying to say. Phil,
yes.
Tell us about this thing that you feel is such a strong scam that you think that especially seniors can easily get roped into it.
Well, that's not quite what I was talking about. Let me tell you what happened. Yesterday, just for fun, after I got off work, I went to YouTube and I searched Medicare scam phone calls. Because while I'm at work, I get those things, at least five of them a day on my cell phone. And I found videos of these gentlemen, especially one guy whose name I forgot off the top of my head, was having fun scamming the scammers out of India. And that's where a lot of them are from. It's from India, specifically Calcutta. And the humor aspects of it aside, they were using the same scripts in these YouTube videos that I hear in these scam calls that I get on my phone constantly. And it crossed my mind that people with elderly parents should look up some of these YouTube videos, to have a good laugh, but B, and more importantly,
to get trained on
what to listen for and how they say it.
I see. Okay.
I think you can learn to defend yourself greatly by watching those kinds of videos and just do a quick search for Medicare scam phone calls on YouTube and you'll see them.
YouTube has everything, doesn't it?
It does. It really does.
Man, I don't have to call a lot of cases. I don't have to call a plumber anymore. YouTube describes it personally. It told me how to clean my vacuum cleaner, which wouldn't work anymore, and how to replace my windshield wiper blade. Those things don't come with instructions, you know.
So, there's a bunch of dumb stuff on YouTube, but it is
for me right there.
It is a wonderful repository of trivial knowledge. You know, if you need to know how to change the bulb on your 2003 Saturn, there's a step-by-step instructional video that someone put up just to be nice. They don't make any money off of that.
Right, for sure. Thanks, Phil. That's a good idea. Check that out. And I'm afraid of AI thinking up scams, but that's another subject. We got a break for Fox News. I'm John Potter. We'll be back in a few. Feel free to call. We're on 99.1, 92.3 FM News Talk Time, 11:30.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
It scares me. It really scares me.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 News Talk Truth.
Hey, friends. Welcome back. John Potter here every Saturday morning, 9 to noon at 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Just checking the news. The UAW expanded its strike again this week. It's like they're shutting off the blood supply a bit to the U.S. auto industry. GM and Ford laid off a lot of workers last week, blaming the strike. Just yesterday, Chrysler parent Stellantis and Ford Motor said they will temporarily lay off 1,250 employees due to the impact of the United Auto Workers strike. Stellantis has 1,340 employees laid off in three states because of the four-week-old strike. After announcing the layoff Friday of 700 employees at two plants in Indiana, Ford is laying off another 550 employees, and we're not even mentioning GM's numbers here. But the point I'd like to make is that at a certain point, you're going to kill the goose that laid the golden egg. And there's a part of me that thinks that's the purpose and the intent here. You have these companies, and when you all of a sudden decide that they've got to dramatically increase their labor costs, once the standard is set by that union, that you only have to work 4 days to get 5 days pay, well, then every other union out there is going to want the same thing, and it could end up being a race for more money for less work. Americans have become so entitled, and the problem is that after a while, costs for everything just go up further. And when they present things to us on the evening news, on the nightly propaganda broadcast, they will often take the perspective or focus on a part of their piece that is meant to get us worked up, but really doesn't take us to either the heart of the issue or lay out for us the consequence of that issue. And so it is, we have any number of people shouting on the nightly propaganda session about how the CEOs got a big raise, and so we must get a 40% raise, and we must get our share, and that's what we hear. But you have a situation where America, which is now a post-industrial country, we don't make much anymore. Some of our last heavy manufacturing is in the automobile industry. Now, heavy manufacturing is what allowed the North to win the Civil War, and it allowed the alliance to which the United States belonged to win the Second World War. And being able to make stuff, especially heavy industry like munitions, that kind of determines more often than not who gets to win wars. Know what I'm saying? So this strike would have some interesting impacts and consequences, and it's a strike that the President of the United States has twice now, once in person and once by statement, said he wants the workers to win. He has not been in the middle. He's been on the picket line. He is with the demands of the union, which are going from working 5 days to 4 days. So companies would logistically have to hire 20% more people in lieu of that. And the workers, even the new ones you hire, want to be paid 40% more for doing the 20% less. So we have this dramatic increase in labor costs, about 65%. And that would be staggering for any business anywhere. And that cost will be factored in to the cost of the car. All of a sudden, automobiles manufactured in UAW workplaces will be significantly more expensive. It's kind of like how the UAW killed the American auto industry in the 1970s. If you were around then, it was a bad scene. It was great for Tokyo, which had a significant cost advantage without a significantly higher labor cost, but it leveled Detroit. The market will again push people into cars that are made overseas. And that, combined with that same president and his party that have mandated that U.S. manufacturers make electric cars for which there is limited market demand, that involves retooling costs totaling billions of dollars. It takes American car makers to a mathematical point where they're working at a great disadvantage. And so jobs again are lost, and America's ability to make things falls further. There's a lot of heavy military things that the auto manufacturers are connected with. It's basically one of the strongholds in our country that we have this kind of manufacturing to replenish our army and such. For 20 years in this country, we've been living off wealth that was accumulated over the previous century. We pretty much spent down our inheritance. With the trade imbalance, we basically take the wealth of the United States and we send it to foreign countries in staggering amounts. And what that will do is leave us a poorer country. And if a moron doing a radio show in Reno can understand that, I think so can the United Auto Workers Union. So can the president of the United States, who's for these demands and who will send now inflation bad enough, send car prices much higher. So this strike is not good for anybody except for the union members who are actually helping to torpedo their product and the politicians who gained votes by pandering to them. Biden supporting the demands supports higher car prices for the rest of us. But the president of the United States is supposed to be in service to all American citizens, consumers, which, yes, includes consumers. Can't just support the UAW, sir. Hey, help us car buyers out is what I guess I'm trying to say. Maybe you have a different take on that, and you're most welcome to call at 884-9910. As long as I'm talking national issues here, boss is thinking, I thought this was going to be a local show. Well, it is, but all this stuff affects us, right? As I was talking about the Speaker of the House hunt, and I got into the Ukraine thing, and I was saying that, defending the other fellow's homeland at the cost of our homeland doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I also think we should demand a better accounting from Ukraine, which is... no disrespect to the Ukrainians or the folks out there now, but it's a historically corrupt nation. Its governance since the fall of the Soviet Union has repeatedly become just a big scandal pit. And one of the reasons Hunter Biden is in everybody's crosshairs is because he picked up an awful lot of money in Ukraine, and it's all dirty money, right? So I would like to know where all our billions are going there. What's the count? I know it's over $125 billion that we've sent out there. And I have a certain level of, we're buying guns and bombs for them, but if we're putting money into certain people's secret Swiss bank accounts, as I suspect we probably are, I'm not cool with that. And further, I think we ought to have a better understanding of where the finish line is and how we're going to get there. And I think there very well be a compelling argument for continued significant American support for that Ukrainian self-defense effort. I don't know if that argument has truly been made. I know we've got Joe saying, fight Putin, this, that, and the other, but the devil and the theft is in the details here. And I would pick from either party, the most strenuous and detailed person in Congress to make a committee, kind of like, I'm going way back in history here, kind of like Harry Truman had in the first years of World War II. If you know your history, he was sent in there to ensure that we were not getting ripped off by defense contractors. And we were, until Harry kicked the crap out of them. I'd like a Truman Commission to look at every penny of this Ukraine money. Walking away from Ukraine would not be a good idea. Spending down Russia, depleting its munitions through this undertaking is probably worthwhile. But we need to be very vigilant to not get drawn into anything bigger. And we need to make sure that our pocket isn't being picked. So myself, my attitude right now is don't pull out of Ukraine automatically. But we should be very cautious and circumspect. We should question everything going on there. And if we find ugly stuff, we should walk out the door. And if we find things are above board and going okay, then maybe we should continue our role. We've sent well over $120 billion of our money. Wow, our schools sure could use that. $120 billion spent in Ukraine, and I'd also like to see more of a strategy on that. Instead of just another long Vietnam-like war of attrition, too, because no doubt they're going to be asking for another $120 billion next year, too. We have schools and we have roads and we have homeless folks to help. And oh my gosh, have we already forgotten Hawaii, the devastation from that fire, and the tornadoes that ravaged the South? I don't hear anything about them anymore. We have needs at home, Congress, dire needs. Okay, enough of that. But I've always said, you know, instead of spending all this money, consider the fact that in the future, we're going to have a huge disaster. And what will we have when that happens? The president has already spent down most of the strategic oil reserve. I hear from some reports that we're almost empty there. You know, he did this to keep a cap on gasoline prices, but we're left with an almost empty oil strategic reserve at the moment. Anyway, stuff that worries me. I'm going to dump it on you so I can get some sleep at night. Our phone number is 884-9910. I want to hear from you. Our local lines are open, 884-9910. I would be honored to have you as a call-in guest this morning. I hope you feel invited to call in. And any topic, of course, is always welcome here. Sorry to go off on these rants. But I only have one more segment with y'all. It's 10 minutes long. It's going to be next after the break. Yeah, on 99.1 to 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk Time, 1147.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 FM.
This is Talk Radio, the original social media.
Hello?
John Potter here on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, here every Saturday morning between 9 and noon. I'm so sorry. Apparently, we missed the V&T Railroad folks, the Sutro Tunnel folks, who were supposed to bring by tickets, but we did have a fun time giving away tickets in the 10 o'clock hour for that great fundraiser, which is going to be held at Holy Cross, a big wine, beer, appetizer, auction function, which is only $30 for you to go to. And I don't know where I put that information, but it's a great event. Look it up, Holy Cross Church, and that's coming up, I think it was November 10th. Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, maybe next week we'll have another pair of tickets to something else to give you. Let's go to the phones. We only have a few minutes left to go, but we have a couple of open lines ready for you. But I want to pick up Nell.
Landscapers, construction companies, HVAC businesses, painters. Phil? If you own a company and have two or more vehicles, then you need LT Automotive.
That
run,
it's very hard to concentrate on traffic.
Yeah, there you go. I'm sorry, Nell. Go ahead.
Great. Okay. I'm calling with a little different perspective on the homeless issue. You were talking earlier about drug use and alcohol abuse, and my sister is mentally ill and has been diagnosed paranoid schizophrenic since her late teens, and she's now 79 years old, and she's on the street and about 2,000 miles away from where I live, her own choice, And she has been to varying degrees in touch, out of touch with reality for so many years. For a while, as a young person, she worked as a clerk in an office, an insurance office, and there's nothing wrong with her intelligence. It's her outlook on life. And she thinks everybody is out to get her. People are out to poison her food. People stick her with needles at night while she's asleep. She wakes up with an owie. It's, oh, somebody must have poked me in the elbow while I was sleeping last night. That kind of thing. And she really needs help. She was released from an institution with instructions to take meds, but of course she doesn't think that she is sick, so she refuses to take anything. And I think if she were institutionalized and stabilized enough now with the new meds they have now, it would help her a lot. Maybe she's had some realization of where she actually is in on the scale, and it would help her. I kind of hesitate to recommend involuntary, I wouldn't call it incarceration, but yeah, because at some time, people like AOC could possibly turn out against conservatives and say, you guys are mentally ill. We have to put you in and reprogram you. But there are people like my sister who need help, and they really should be. We put all the mentally ill people out on the street, and it's really hard to, she's not really a harm to anyone else. When she was, at one time, she was carrying a butcher knife around with her to keep, just in case somebody messed with her. And at that time, she was a possible harm to someone else because she could imagine they were starting to bother her, you know, and take after somebody. But she hasn't done that since she got out.
I feel for you. I feel for you, Nell. Where is she right now? Are you saying she's homeless presently?
Yes, she's staying in a Christian mission. And it seems to be a stable place for her. She can go back there every night, and she rides the bus everywhere. She received Social Security disability from my parents' accounts, I think, for a while. I don't think she had enough built up of her own. And then when she turned 65, I think she was just put on plain old Social Security. I really don't know, because my aunt was managing that for her aunt, who lived nearby where she is. And my aunt has since passed away. So, she steadfastly maintains there's nothing wrong with her, that my parents ruined her life by having her put in the institution the first time. And she's just cuckoo, and she needs help. If with medication, she might be able to live a semi-normal life. Of course, she's probably right toward the end of her life now, but there are many other people in her situation who are younger and could be helped by that. And I think we need to offer help, maybe even insist on help, for the people who have that problem out there. Maybe they find normalcy.
I feel so bad for your family, Nell, and this is your own sister you're talking about. And so your solution, which I always ask, what could be the possible solution? You know, the solution, you seem to veer toward committing them to an institution, and people point to Reagan and say, oh, he emptied those out and he closed them down. Actually, it was the ACLU that sued the state of California, and the ACLU was correct in saying you cannot take away people's rights and put them in an institution without their freedom. You can't do that, and we had to move away from that. You say your sister will never.
I understand that.
Yeah, you say your sister will never change though, and she needs some sort of supervision. Yeah, I just don't know what the solution would be for that. I mean, there are limited solutions, but they're not, of course, funded the way they should be.
I don't know what the solution is for someone like her. Her whole life has just been one big giant waste. It's so sad. And she's not a bad person. She's not a thief. She's not a drug addict. She doesn't do anything, really.
Sure.
Except
okay.
She is wasting her life and in danger on the streets. She's never related to me any assaults that have taken place. She has had her purse snatched a few
times.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm sorry to hear this, Nell. Keep in touch. I'm running out of show here, but I do appreciate you giving that side of the issue that many folks just don't know about. And God bless you, and God bless your daughter. And I do have this compassion because, as I said, because I know in my life, most of the bad circumstances I've encountered have been of my own creation. And most of the time when I find myself in a hole, it's a hole I dug. And yet I'm grateful for the compassion and the assistance of others in getting out of that hole. And you have a better chance of doing that with the help from others. And second of all, as I pointed out before, I'm not sure people woke up and said, hey, I'd like to be an addict, or I'd like to have this mental illness and almost die on the river trail. But people, that includes you and me, truly have a mental illness, or they made foolish choices, and some of those choices put a noose around their neck, and sometimes it's hard to escape that noose, a lot harder than people realize. Wow. Certainly ended on a somber note today.
Well, I do have a text I need to share with you.
Sure.
It came in about an hour ago in reference to the Keurig coffee maker issue. One of our listeners said that he, when it comes to coffee, he likes coffee like she likes his women. K-cups.
Oh. K-cups?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's what I needed to end the show with. Thank you so much, Phil.
You're welcome.
All right.
I can also tell you, we have a lot of buffets here in this town, and the goldfish have decided.
I can only think of three.
The goldfish have decided Golden Coral is the best buffet.
Golden Corral.
No, Golden Coral.
Don't know of that one.
It's a goldfish. They love coral.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you running the show from Carson City for me.
No problem.
All right, buddy. Hey, folks, have a wonderful weekend. I'm sincere in that. Hope you saw a bit of the eclipse today. It was there for about 10 seconds between the clouds. I'll be back next Saturday, 9 to noon, on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk.